Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is Monday, January 26, 2026. And just looking at the calendar, I can't believe we are almost a month into the year already.
It's wild. The years are flying by faster than the frame rates these days.
Seriously, and speaking of frame rates, today we are tackling a topic that feels like it shifted under our feet when we weren't looking. We've got a massive stack of articles here, specifically excerpts from the 2026 Gaming Frontier and the latest breakdown from Tekken Night. And the headline, really, across all of this is pretty stark. The era of, old gaming, it's officially history.
It really is. And I think for a lot of people, that just sounds like hyperbole, right? When you dig into this data, you realize the ground has actually moved.
I mean, think back just what, 3, 4 years ago, you'd finish a game and that was it. You said goodbye.
Yeah.
Maybe if you were lucky, you waited 6 months for a 5-hour DLC pack.
Right. Or you were just grinding for a slightly shinier hat. It was a very static relationship. You were the consumer, the developer was God.
Exactly. But looking at these sources for 2026, that whole concept is just dead. We're looking at a fundamental shift in what it means to be a gamer. We're not just consumers anymore. The data suggests we're becoming
And
directors.
the hardware.
The hardware's practically vanishing into the ether.
That is the mission for this deep dive. We need to unpack three massive pillars emerging from all this data. First, there's generative gameplay. That's the AI creation part.
How the game builds itself.
Exactly. Second is neural streaming, which explains why your hardware specs matter less and less. And finally, the human element, how smart NPCs and a real shift in culture are changing why we play.
And just to be clear for everyone listening, this isn't just about graphics getting sharper. We are not talking about pixel counts here.
Not at all, no. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's about the democratization of creativity and a really serious case of digital fatigue that's altering the whole social landscape of gaming.
So let's get into it. The first thing that really jumped out at me from the Gaming Frontier report was this term, generative gameplay. Now, we've heard about generative AI for years, images, text, but how is it actually changing the gameplay loop?
It's moving us from manual labor to magical instantiation.
Okay, break that down.
Well, think about the old tools. Remember Roblox or Fortnite Creative back in the early 20s?
Sure, my nephew spent hours on those.
Right. But he had to learn the tools. He had to place the blocks, link the logic, script the events. It was accessible, sure, but it was essentially digital manual labor. You had to be a builder.
You had to work for it.
But now, the report describes the new standard as magical and instantaneous. And I want to point to a specific example from the source because it illustrates the leap perfectly. It describes a user just turning on their microphone.
No controller, no keyboard.
No, just their voice and commanding the AI assistant.
I have the quote right here. The prompt was, "Build an abandoned military base in the Amazon rainforest under acid rain where enemies are only snipers and gravity is 50% lower."
Okay, now just pause on that. In 2023, that's a concept art prompt.
You'd get a pretty picture.
In 2026, tools like NVIDIA ACE 2.0 or Ubisoft Scalar take that voice command and render a fully playable level.
And the timeline. The timeline mentioned in the report is shocking.
Less than 10 seconds.
10 seconds to build a military base.
With full textures, lighting, specifically Lumen lighting, so it's photorealistic and actual game logic. We're not talking about a rough sketch or a static background. This is a playable level.
So the player just states their desire, and the game engine like Unreal Engine 5.6 just spits it out.
Precisely. It's the holodeck promise finally arriving. But what's so fascinating here is what this does to the concept of replayability. The source calls it infinite replayability.
Which is a marketing term we've heard a million times. Infinite levels. It usually just means randomly arranged hallways.
True, but this is different because the AI isn't just taking orders, it's learning. It's analyzing you.
Learning what? My reaction
Your
times?
psychology. The analysis points out that if the AI notices you engage more when you're sneaking, you stop to look at corners, you stick to the shadows. The next time it generates a level, it's going to prioritize ventilation shafts, dark corners, and verticality.
And if I'm just looking to blow things up, like, had a bad day, just want some chaos.
Then it notices you ignored the stealth route. It triples the red barrels. It increases the enemy density. It tailors the environment to your specific dopamine triggers in that moment.
That is just wild. It's like having a dungeon master who creates the world specifically for you in real time.
It really blurs the line between playing and creating. And the shift has even changed the language we use. The sources mention a redefinition of the term whale.
Oh, right, Whale 2.0. I highlighted this. Back in the day, a whale was just someone who spent a ton of money on microtransactions, right?
The guy buying the $500 spaceship.
Oh.
Correct. It was purely about consumption.
But in 2026.
A Whale 2.0 is different. This is a gamer who uses these AI tools to generate massive amounts of high-quality content levels, skins, scenarios, and then sells them to other players.
So the whale is now a content factory, a distributor.
Exactly. They leverage the AI to become a mini studio. And this accessibility has given rise to a whole new genre mentioned in the glossary, prompt gaming.
I saw that. That's where you don't even use a controller.
No controller at all. You progress through the game entirely by typing or speaking to the AI. Your skill isn't your reflex speed. It's your ability to prompt the system effectively. It's prompt engineering gamified.
That is a huge shift. But speaking of huge shifts, let's talk about the hardware. Because for, 20 years, the conversation has always been, can my PC run this?
Can it run Crysis? The famous benchmark.
The barrier to entry. But the sources are calling this the end of system requirements. There's a note here about Cyberpunk 2077 still a benchmark game running on a mid-range phone. At ultra settings, how is that even possible?
It's the marriage of two technologies. Cloud gaming, which we've known about, and AI upscaling. The source calls this combination neural screaming.
Okay, we need to break that down. How is neural streaming different from just, streaming a movie or old cloud gaming?
Well, historically, cloud gaming had two huge problems, latency and bandwidth.
Right. You press jump and the character jumps a second later and it would just chew through your data cap.
Exactly. Neural streaming changes the equation. The cloud server doesn't send you a heavy, crisp 4K image. It sends a highly compressed, lightweight 1080p image.
So the phone gets a blurrier, smaller image?
Initially, yes. But here's the magic. The NPU, the neural processing unit, the AI chip inside your device, it takes over locally. It uses tech like DLSSX to upscale that 1080p image to a crisp 4K.
And it just fills in the gaps.
It reconstructs missing frames. So the internet only has to carry a light load, the skeleton of the image, basically. Your phone's AI paints the pretty picture on top.
So the internet does the heavy lifting for the logic, but your phone handles the visual fidelity.
Precisely. This slashes bandwidth usage and, crucially, latency. The source says the only relevant question in 2026 isn't what graphics card do you have? It's simply, do you have internet?
And with 6G and fiber, the report says ping is consistently under 10 milliseconds.
Which is imperceptible.
That explains why the Pro consoles seem to be disappearing. The report mentions Sony and Microsoft are shifting their budgets away from mid-gen hardware upgrades.
It makes sense. Why build a Pro console when the cloud can be the Pro console? They're putting that R&D into cloud infrastructure and better AI models.
Though for the hardware nerds out there, I know you're listening, Taken Knight's report does say some specs are still important. It's not all cloud. Apparently, 32 gigs of RAM is the new minimum.
Yes, but notice why. It's specifically for local generative AI features. If you want that Dungeon Master AI to run on your machine privately, you need the memory to hold those models.
And monitors. It says buying an IPS panel is a mistake now.
QD OLED is the standard. If you're shopping this week, don't buy old tech.
Good advice. But I want to pivot to something that feels a little more alive. We talked about the world being generated, but what about the inhabitants, the NPCs?
This is the NPC revolution.
I love the contrast here. The old days of I took an arrow to the knee, scripted lines that never change.
Right. You were talking to a vending machine. It had three responses and that was it.
Versus the new standard, long-term memory. The chicken scenario in the notes is hilarious, but also kind of terrifying. Can you walk us through that?
It is a perfect example. In an old game, say Skyrim, if you killed a villager's chicken, maybe the guards chase you for 5 minutes.
You pay a fine or you hide behind a rock until the alert meter goes down.
Exactly. And then you come back and everyone's forgotten.
Yeah.
Total amnesia.
But in 2026.
Using engines like Ubisoft NEO NPC, that villager remembers. The scenario describes returning 20 hours of gameplay later. You've saved the world. You're a hero. But you go back to that village and the owner refuses to trade with you.
Because of the chicken.
Because of the chicken. And not only that, he's told the rest of the village, you're a murderer. The analysis says prices double in the entire region, for you specifically. The consequences stick.
And we can talk to them, right? With our actual voices.
Yes. Dynamic dialogue. You speak into your mic, hey, I'm sorry about the chicken. And they reply based on their personality and morals. It's not a script. It's a generated conversation.
Which leads to my absolute favorite new term from the Gamer Dictionary section. NPC hallucination.
Yes. The glitch of the future.
Describe what that looks like.
So since these NPCs are powered by LLMs, sometimes they break character. The AI gets confused. You'll be in a deep medieval fantasy talking to a blacksmith, and suddenly he starts explaining quantum physics or complaining about the game engine.
Hey, traveler, would you like to buy a sword? Also, the hitbox on this dragon is broken.
Exactly. It completely shatters the immersion, but it's fascinating because it shows how complex these systems are.
Speaking of immersion, we have to touch on the physical side. We're engaging mentally, but the report mentions haptic suits have crashed in price.
The adoption curve in action. They've gone from like $3,000 down to $300. That's the tipping point.
And this isn't just a rumble pack and a controller.
No, you feel the impact, the punch. But this introduces another new term that sounds like a nightmare. Haptic lag.
Oh, I hate lag in general, but physical lag.
It's a sensory disconnect. Imagine your internet hiccups. In the game, you get shot. But because of the latency, your suit delivers the physical impact 2 seconds later.
So you see it, then 2 seconds later, wham.
It would be incredibly disorienting. Ugh. It just disconnects the brain from the action.
It sounds like motion sickness waiting to happen. But when it works, combined with things like the Apple Vision Air bringing AR board games to your dining table, the barrier between the game and reality is thinner than ever.
It's about presence.
Yeah.
You aren't looking at the game, you're occupying it.
But here's where it gets really interesting for me. We have all this tech infinite worlds, smart NPCs, haptic suits. You'd think everyone would be playing these massive competitive simulations. Battle royales bigger than ever.
But the data says the opposite.
This is the vibe shift.
The report calls it digital fatigue, and it's a crucial cultural insight. The analysis suggests that co-op is now significantly greater than battle royale. The era of the 100-player free-for-all is fading.
Why? Is it just boredom with the format?
It's psychological. The report argues the new generation is constantly competing on social media for likes, views, status. Their real lives are a scoreboard. When they game, they don't want that stress.
They want to fight with friends, not against them.
Exactly. It mentions the success of Helldivers 3 from late 2025 as the proof. Four-player PvE is king.
And technology is facilitating this, too, with the AI director.
I love this concept.
So the game is essentially rigging the match.
In a way, yes. The AI manages the drama. It adjusts difficulty in real time, not just to be hard or easy, but to be cinematic.
How so?
If your team is crushing it, the AI sends smarter enemies.
Aww.
But if you're struggling, if you're about to wipe, it orchestrates what they call the hero moment.
Ah, that moment where you extract with 1% HP left and everyone is screaming.
Precisely. It ensures you barely survive, giving you that rush of adrenaline. It's curating the emotional arc of the session. It's cheating for you to make you feel cool.
It's making sure we feel like movie stars. And looking at the shopping list for January 2026, the games really reflect this mix of intense co-op and, well, total peace.
They do. It's a polarized market. On one end, you have Neon Shadows, Rebirth, described as a cyberpunk Souls-like.
Parrying and hacking cybernetics sounds incredibly sweaty.
Very high skill floor. But then on the exact opposite end, you have the viral hit Project Gardener.
This one sounds right up my alley. You're on an abandoned space station and your only job is to plant flora.
Restore oxygen and watch space plants grow. No enemies, no timer. The source says it proves gamers crave peace. It's a direct response to that digital fatigue.
And then, of course, the legacy of Cain. Blood Omen remake.
Classic narrative never dies. Even with all this AI generation, there is still a hunger for a well-told story written by a human.
And we can't forget GTA VI Online. The report calls it the new metaverse.
Because of the economy.
Yeah.
It's entirely player-driven, and the AI manages the laws of the city. They change weekly based on player voting. It's a living social experiment.
So let's step back. We've gone from buying a disc to stepping into a cloud-streamed world where we direct the content, the characters remember our crimes, and an AI director makes sure we feel like heroes.
It means the boundaries have just dissolved. The line between developer and player is gone. The line between your hardware and the cloud is gone. And really, the line between social hanging out and gaming
is gone. It's a brave new world. But I want to leave our listener with a thought here. Something based on that AI director concept.
Go on.
If the AI is constantly adjusting the world to match your preferences, giving you stealth because you like stealth and orchestrating the drama so you always win by a narrow margin, are you actually achieving anything?
That is the question. Is it a game or is it a ride?
Exactly. If you can't really fail because the AI wants to keep you engaged, does winning even matter? Or are you just trapped in a vanity simulation designed to keep you happy?
And if the world is built specifically to please you, are you exploring a new frontier or just looking in a mirror?
Something to think about. That's it for this deep dive into the gaming frontier of 2026. Whether you want an AI to write your story or you miss the human touch, thanks for listening.
Game over. Or maybe game start.
See you next time.